Hello everyone and welcome to Broken But Glorious Wrestling Podcast. I'm Oliver Newman, author of A Fan's Perspective 2016, What a Year to Be a Fan of WWE, and A Fan's Perspective, One Man's Exploration of British Wrestling. Available on paperback and Kindle on Amazon now. I have the absolute pleasure and honour of being joined today by Dean Allmark. Hi Dean, how you doing?
I'm good mate, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. So this kind of like segues into this. So who did you model your career after at the beginning of your career, sorry? Is there anyone that you watched on TV and thought, if I could take little things from this person or these people, then I can kind of make myself into this wrestler and character wise and things?
I always had it in my brain. The way you should be is like you want to take everything that, because I'd watch wrestling from all over the world, and my big influences were like Michinoku Pro Wrestling in Japan. That was like one of my whenever I wanted to watch wrestling, that was one of my go tos because I used to just love that style. So I used to love Michinoku Pro. I used to love Tajiri in ECW. He was obviously, being a wrestling fan at the time, I was like, man, like Tajiri is so different to everybody else. Even like Bret Hart, Owen Hart, the Bulldogs, just them sort of wrestlers, they seem to stand out with something different, you know. In my mind at the time, I guess I was thinking, they all had like a similar style, like a technical style, but they were able to like pull like high flying maneuvers off too, you know. If you watch Tajiri, he's a very well rounded wrestler, and they were the kind of wrestlers that I liked at the time.
Yeah, and you saying you liked my childhood hero Bret the Hitman Hart has put you up in my estimation, Dean.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
How could you not like him? You know, it was he was just like so over with the crowd, and the way he used to wrestle was just unlike, you can always tell the ones that like were taught the right way, and Bret was one of them guys, you know. He wasn't like somebody like Hakim or Sabasimba, you know, somebody that I saw at first. He was actually like a real wrestler in my mind.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the reason I became a fan in the first place was Mr. Perfect versus Bret the Hitman Hart for the IC title from SummerSlam 1991.
Yes, I remember that one.
Yeah, that was my match that made me a fan. I just remember Bret and Mr. Perfect's technical ability was amazing. The characters were really good. The storyline was fantastic, and in the end, for him to get his, you know, his first major championship, and then he's had a legendary career because of it. So, yeah, that was the match for me.
And the perfect plex was actually my favourite move when I was a kid.
Oh, okay.
When I used to tune in and watch WWF, that was like, I always used to look forward to seeing a perfect plex. I don't know what it was about the move, but it was my favourite move.
Yeah. Have you had the opportunity to meet Bret the Hitman Hart in your lifetime? Or
No, never met him.
Oh, wow.
Never had the chance.
Yeah, I was able to meet him at the NEC in 2008, and I told him that his match against Mr. Perfect was my first match and the reason I became a fan, and he turned around and said that it was his first great match of many, as you know. So yeah, just for me really. I'm not sure if this is for the listeners, but I saw you live at Leamington Spa for All Star Wrestling in 2007 against your perennial rival Robbie Dynamite. And do you have any thoughts and memories on this match?
So 2006, 2007 are the first, that was the first time that I decided to buy a video camera and go out and start recording my matches and putting them on YouTube. Obviously being born in the 80s and being a 90s kid, like the internet and stuff like that was something that was really new to me. And I've always been slow, like when it comes to social media. Like it normally has to be something that's been out for a couple of years, like Facebook or MySpace or anything like that, before I actually get involved in that sort of thing. But he was like, I opened a wrestling school in 2006, and he was more my students saying, oh, I think you do that many matches, like 250 matches a year, you need to start recording them and putting them on YouTube so we can watch them, you know. So I started doing it. That match with Robbie Dynamite from Leamington, I believe, is on my YouTube channel. What I remember about that night is we had a new ring at the time that had just been built, and there was a couple of things about the ring that I didn't particularly like. I don't know what it was at the time, it was just something that I didn't like, but I went to do like a dive over the top rope. So I hit the ropes, went to do like an Undertaker style dive over the top, and caught my feet on the top rope and nearly face planted in the floor. But I managed to catch Rob on the way down. So to make up for that, I climbed on the stage, and then I think I did a flip dive off the stage onto the floor.
Yeah, I remember that.
just to make up for the fact that I'd just done a pretty crappy dive. But apart from that, I think that's all I pretty much remember about that match. It was just like a typical me and Rob match where we just go in there, and it doesn't matter if we were wrestling in front of 10 people or 1,000 people, we'd just go out there and always work hard every night.
That's fair enough. I mean, from my book, you worked in front of 400 people, so that's better than 10. And what I said about the match, I'm not sure if you've seen this, Dean, so I'll read it to you. All-Star Wrestling has a stellar reputation for putting on fun, family-friendly shows. With Leamington Spa not being a million miles away, I decided to make the trip. The opening match between All-Star Wrestling British mid-heavyweight champion Dean Allmark and Robbie Dynamite made it all worthwhile. This was a cracking way to start the show, and I became a fan of both wrestlers immediately.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, yeah. And the other match that I saw you live was you and Kid Cool against Pierre Carl Quillet, I believe, and Rene Dupree.
Yes.
Yeah, and this definitely is on your YouTube channel.
Yes.
And what are your thoughts and your memories of this match?
I've wrestled like Carl Ouellette, obviously from the WWF. He had the feud with Bret Hart in the 90s, and obviously Rene Dupree was a pretty big star in the WWE. So both of them men like have been over for All Star and toured for them many times, and I became good friends with both. That match in particular, I don't really remember that much about. I remember Rene Dupree hitting a like pretty leady dropkick on either me or Kid Cool, which was if it was on Kid Cool, it's probably I found it hilarious and was corpsing on the apron. But that's pretty much all I remember about that match, to be honest. It was probably just a nice, easy all-star tag match, which I've done thousands of times.
You can't say that though, Dean. I was there live, and you want to hear like amazing thoughts on it and stuff.
Now, apart from Rene Dupree probably taking my partner's head off of the dropkick, that's all I remember.
Yeah.
To be honest, when you do it so much, like sometimes it's just like going to the office and doing your 9-to-5. You know what I mean? It's just one day can be the same as many other days.
It's a bit of a blur.
Just it was a long time ago. I've had a lot of bangs on the head since then. So let's put it down to that.
Yeah, let's put it down to that. That's a nice way to get out of that one. What was it like taking on and defeating one of your trainers, Keith Meyer?
Keith, for anybody that knows Keith, will tell you that Keith's one of the nicest guys in wrestling. He's been around forever, and he is one of the nicest guys. And whenever I've got the opportunity to wrestle Keith, it's always an enjoyable experience, you know. Keith isn't one of these wrestlers that has got an ego or anything like that, and he's always willing to put the young guys over. And that's just always the vibe that I've got from him, you know. He truly is. I haven't wrestled him since probably about 2010 maybe, which is a shame, because I love going in there with Keith, and he's so good with the crowd. It's just an easy night's work.
Okay, yeah. like I said, I saw and was able to interact with Keith on the Midlands wrestling scene, and like you said, you know, I can't say a bad word against him. One of the best guys in British wrestling, definitely. And in terms of working with the young guys, I think he worked with Ashton Smith, and we're going to come to that a little bit later because I've got a question about, you know, that and your experience with him. And I just remember him being great. He put on a charity show in Stoke-on-Trent, and pretty much everyone wanted to sign up for it, and I went along to take photos, and I wrote about that as well. So he's one of those guys you'd help out, really.
Yeah. When was that charity show?
I want to say 2007.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd say. One of the questions, I wasn't sure how to word this one, but in your opinion, like, who's been like the best foreign wrestler or wrestlers to come through All Star Wrestling, either from a character perspective or in ring?
That have come and wrestled for All Star.
Yeah. Putting you on the spot now, Dean.
Because like in my early years of wrestling, like I was sharing dressing rooms like with Tatanka, Earthquake, Jake the Snake Roberts, Marty Jannetty. It was just like in my first couple of years, I just learned so much, and just having them guys there. There used to be a wrestling game called WrestleFest that you used to be able to find in the arcades.
Yeah.
And me and Rob used to hunt all the arcades down in Rill to find the one that had WrestleFest in, and we just used to go through 10p's like they were chocolates. So like people like Earthquake and Jake the Snake were on them games, you know, and obviously they were big stars. One of my childhood memories is Earthquake sitting on Jake the Snake. That was one of the things I remembered, and just being there in the dressing room with both of them at the same time was a bit crazy.
Yeah, can imagine.
But like just the amount of talent that's been and come through All Star. Two of my good friends went on to do very, very well. TJ Wilson, that went on to become Tyson Kidd,
mm-hmm.
in the WWE. He was whenever we wrestled, he was just a phenomenal wrestler. He was really, really good.
I had the pleasure of interviewing TJ back in the day. He's such a cool guy. And really nice. I could imagine you and him tearing it up, to be honest.
He just every bit of wrestling, like his technical wrestling, was really good. He was really well rounded, and that was something that I wanted to become myself. Brian Danielson. Mm-hmm. First met him in 2003, and then up until he got signed, he was a regular on the All Star shows. Most of the time he was wrestling in a mask because he wanted to just do something totally different to what he was doing in America at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But the holiday camps especially was somewhere that he absolutely loved. And I remember him saying to me if he could make enough money to do the camps and just go to Japan, he wouldn't even wrestle in America. He didn't particularly like it that much.
Mm-hmm.
It was just he got paid really well, so he had no choice. But we used to wrestle like every single day against each other in the summer season, and he was just phenomenal himself, really, really good.
Have you got all those matches taped, Dean? Because I think I need to see them, to be honest.
There's one from your neck of the woods on my YouTube channel. There's one from Canuck. At the time, the way that YouTube did it, they only let you upload 10 minutes at a time.
Yeah.
Until you've got so many decent subscribers. So that match is in three parts. We just had fun that night. It was a really good crowd, and you can see the difference. You see little things that he does, like he does a step up backflip over the top on me at one point.
Something
that he does as Daniel Bryan, but the rest of it is just him in a mask having fun, basically.
Yeah, I'll have to track that one down. I have to say at this point, Dean, you're doing a fantastic job of dropping names and plugging your YouTube channel, to be honest. Self-promotion at its very best. So we've talked about it a lot during this interview and stuff. Just, you know, putting into words the Robbie Dynamite, Dean Allmark feud that really in my mind, after having researched, you know, for the majority of the day, you were basically against each other all the time. So it reminds me of the Phoenix Jody Fleisch against the Wonder Kid Johnny Storm in that way, that you were kind of tied to each other pretty much. Is there anything about you know, wrestling Robbie that, you know, sticks out in your mind as the feud, or is it one of those feuds that will just go on forever?
I think so. See, because we lived like 10 houses away from each other, we literally saw each other every day. It really is like my big brother that I never had, you know. And just every time we go in the ring, we're almost like the same person in a different body, you know. We can read situations the same way, and yeah, he definitely is. For anybody that's ever seen him wrestle, they will say that he is one of the best that this country's ever produced. He is really good. He's well rounded, and in them early couple of years, he was more like my teacher than Chris and Keith were. He was just, he just had it straight away. Even though we started training at the same time, he was always a step ahead. So yeah, it's just one of those things we've done 1,000 times. And then last year we were in Japan together in September. So it's just when you take a step back and you just see that you've known somebody since the age of 8 years old, wrestling in the living room to going over and wrestling on shows together in Japan, it's just crazy.
Yeah, that is pretty surreal, isn't it, to be honest?
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the punk rock supernova Eric Emanon, the leader of the IndyCard Mafia, the voice of the free world, and you are listening to Broken But Glorious.
I've saw in the research and stuff that you've wrestled a singles and a tag team ladder match. Can you tell the listeners about the nuances and the differences between the two?
I wouldn't, like, I've done multi-man matches in ladder matches as well, and the ladder matches can be complicated, but it's all down to whoever's in the match, you know what I mean? I've done a number of ladder matches against Dynamite, and obviously we're so similar, it's real easy, you know. I've done multi-man matches where there've been six people in there, and it's tough, you know. Ladders flying everywhere and stuff like that, and bodies flying everywhere, it can be quite dangerous, but the ladder matches are one of them things, excuse me, that actually came pretty easy. I don't know what, for whatever reason, but when it comes to ladder matches, I'm not afraid to do stuff that other people won't do. So there's a number of ladder matches also on my YouTube channel if you want to check them out. there's some craziness going on in them. I remember one at NGW, they had a big ladder. I want to say it was one of the biggest ones that you can get, and I climbed to the top of it and dropped a leg drop off the top of it, which I've never seen anybody do, especially off the top rung. I was nearly touching the ceiling at the time as well. And it's just one of them things that when you see it, it's like, damn. And that was literally a month after I had my appendix removed as well. So
wow.
I was a little bit worried that was going to open up and all my guts were going to splatter everywhere. But thankfully, it was fine in the end. It went good.
Thanks for the imagery there, Dean. Appreciate that. You know, when I'm tucking into my dinner later. moving swiftly on and kind of tying into your Japan experience, you wrestled a couple of matches on the Dragon Gate shows here in the UK. They weren't televised, they were dark matches. Is there any memories or thoughts that you have of those experiences at all?
2010 was my first one. I was meant to be wrestling Johnny Storm. And I was really excited because it was going to be my first, like, apart from like the TNA and the FWA thing, it was like my proper like first indie show where there was kind of like a buzz about it, you know. A couple of days before they changed the opponent to Styx, I don't know what happened to Johnny, whether he got injured or whatnot, but they changed the opponent to Styx, and I'd never wrestled Styx before. The match actually went really good. And surprised a lot of people, and from there it opened a lot of doors. Like Andy Quilden, who runs at the time was running IPW UK, now runs RevPro. Mm-hmm. He was the referee in that match. And there was a couple of other promoters in the crowd, like Stephen Flutter, that does, he runs PCW now. And yeah. He was actually in the crowd before he was, he turned into a wrestling promoter. So, yeah, that match opened a lot of doors for me. It went really good. Again, that's on my YouTube channel. You can check that one out.
Yeah, I was going to ask if that was on your YouTube channel, Dean.
Yes. That's one of the most watched ones for some reason. People seem to like that one. I don't know whether it's just the name Dragon Gate or they've heard about it, but yeah. That was one of the matches where I just felt like I was kind of at my peak. I had no injuries, and everything kind of came together around about that time.
You can't say that, Dean. Your peak's yet to come.
Oh, I don't know about that.
So yeah, you've one of the obviously the highlights of your career, I would imagine, is winning the main title in All Star Wrestling, the British Heavyweight title, and that happened against Rampage Brown. Do you have any thoughts and memories on this occasion?
So that again was in Stoke-on-Trent. Rampage Brown was. A lot of people don't know that Rampage Brown actually used to train at the same wrestling school that myself and Dynamite used to go to. There was a lot of wrestlers from there, like Kid Cole came from there, Mikey Whiplash was another wrestler that came from there, Tim Wiley. A lot of wrestlers came from that wrestling school where there was no ring, it was just mats, and we all used to get on the mat and just grapple and do silly moves. Rampage Brown came there a couple of times. Obviously, he was living in Leeds. He used to drive down with his friend. He never actually did any shows, but we were the same age, and we used to get on the mats and do quite a bit together. And then he went off to train with Jeff Kay, who was a legendary British wrestler, and a British referee in the old World Sport days. And 4 years later, we met up again. He jumped back on the road with All Star, and we'd wrestle each other for many, many, many years. He was a lot like me and Rob. Most of the time I get to the show, I was either on with Rob or Rampage Brown. So, we've had a lot of wars over the years. He's another one that hits really hard. He's known for his aggressive wrestling style. We used to have real good chemistry because we weren't scared to, like, just legit headbutt each other in matches and stuff like that, just for our own benefit more than anybody else's.
I was going to say earlier, I was going to say you were fearless, Dean, but at this point, you're a little bit crazy, aren't you, in all honesty? You know, let's not sugarcoat it. Let's just tell it as it is.
More guts than brains, that's what I say.
Yeah, that's what they've kind of put on other characters in the WWE. Maybe that's your way into the company.
Now I'm beginning to chill out a little bit, so
don't say that though, Dean. That's not what the fans want to hear, in all honesty.
I think I'm becoming too sensible.
I might need to
shake it up again.
Yeah, definitely shake it up again. So that I was going to say, with regards to Rampage Brown, he's obviously a part of Five Star Wrestling. What are your thoughts on it? Obviously, it's on Free Sports, it's on UK TV, it's British Wrestling on UK TV as well. What do you think? Have you been watching it? Have you been able to catch anything? And obviously, there's been a lot said online, both negative and positive. You know, what's Dean Allmark's thoughts on Five Star?
I saw the first show where the ropes were quite loose and stuff, and the canvas was coming undone. And I just think that was just a case that they weren't prepared, because by the next week they'd improved on a lot of things. It was a really good match that I saw. It was Charlie Sterling and Adam Max against Liguero and Jody.
Yeah.
That was a really, really good match. The Five Star thing's left a little bit of a sour taste in my mouth, just because originally PCW had that TV deal.
Mm-hmm.
And that was going to be their spot, and they came in and took it from under them. So I guess that's what. Being one of the PCW guys like I am, like, I've been there since the very beginning. I'm the Cruiserweight champ now.
Yeah.
It's obviously All Star is like my family promotion. Mm-hmm. And my job, but like PCW is definitely a home promotion for me too. So yeah. So no matter what happens, like, it's always gonna be a little bit sour for me and what could have been. If anybody watches PCW shows, you can't help but be impressed with the production and the actual talent on the shows. But I guess it just wasn't meant to be. Obviously, PCW have found a home with Powerbomb TV now. They've got their on-demand service, so yeah, you can check that stuff out there. But good luck to Five Star. You know what I mean? They're doing their thing, and they've got a good spot. It's up to them to make it count now.
Yeah, my question, and I was asking on like Positive and Pro Wrestling, and if you've been able to check out that podcast at all. I'm becoming the king of self-promotion like yourself, Dean. No, not quite as good as you, but, cheap plugs galore. But now, what I was going to say is, do you think that PCW could have done the same thing that Five Star are doing, going to the different arenas every Thursday night, doing a live show? Was that in place, or was it going to be from Preston every week? Because, obviously, I'm not behind the scenes. You are. What was kind of in place? Could they have done the arena tour?
I'm not sure what the deal was.
Okay.
I've got no doubt that PCW could have done that. I've been on shows where I've been somewhere in like Bradford one night, and then they've done Preston the night after. Everybody, they've got a good setup there. They've got some really hard workers that work for them. A lot of the students help from the school, and they work really hard, always improving, and they've got a really solid fan base in Preston. The fans have been there as long as I have, and anybody that's ever been to the shows can vouch for them. They are really good shows.
Yeah, I mean I've saw different clips and different matches on YouTube, and I completely agree that the in-ring action is fantastic. The setup in Preston is really, really good as well. I just wondered, did Five Star get this deal because they could go to different arenas, and it was because Preston City Wrestling wanted to be in Preston? So having yourself on the show, I just wanted to ask that question, really.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but I'm sure if it was from Preston and the setup they've got there, it would have come across really well.
Yeah.
It definitely would have.
Oh, absolutely. So, yeah, I noticed on your YouTube channel there, Dean, that you've wrestled the 205 Live GM Drake Maverick as well. Do you have any thoughts, memories on this experience at all? He was wrestling as Rockstar Spud at the time.
He's Spud's one of them. I met for the first time at that FWA show in 2006. When I started doing the indies, we used to travel together to IPW, which was like a 6-hour journey, and he used to keep me entertained all the way. He really is one of the good ones in the job. He's such a nice guy. And I'm absolutely made up that this has come for him, he's another one. When I went to Japan for the first time in 2014, he was there. Up until that point, I was a little bit worried because I was by myself and nobody really spoke any English, and then I was getting ready for a press conference and the door burst open, and then he comes like after a night on the piss. He was just like, Dean Extreme, just runs over and gives me a massive hug. And I don't know how much you know about like Japanese wrestlers and Japanese people, but everybody's really quiet, really respectful, and it was just like some scene out of some comedy sketch, you know what I mean? It was kind of bursting in off his face. It was really fun to have him there. But he is like in and out of the ring, he is one of the best. We've done the camps together, and just every moment we spent together was great. He is one of the best guys to be around.
I mean, I interviewed Steve Valentino, and he said that Rockstar Spud Drake Maverick, he was inspirational to him in wrestling. The fact that size-wise, he isn't the biggest, and weight-wise, he isn't the biggest either and stuff. But the fact that he just carried on and said, "I'm going to do this, and I'm going to be the best that I can be. I'm going to be the best character I can be." His wrestling skills are, top notch as well. So, Valentino said he was inspirational in the fact that anything in life, especially in wrestling, is attainable if you truly believe in it.
That's it. And I'm one of the guys that never believed it, but just wrestling just keeps proving me wrong time and time again. It's just the amount of places and the offers that I've had is just ridiculous, really. Stuff that I never thought would happen has happened. But I think he is one of them guys that just had a view of what he wanted to be and what he wanted to do, and he just went for it. Mm. So good on him. I admire people like Robbie Dynamite and Spud, the people that do know what they want to be, and they don't take no for an answer. They just keep going. Good on them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks, everyone. I hope you've enjoyed part two of my interview with 18-year veteran of the British wrestling scene, Dean Allmark. Part three of this interview will be available in a week's time. I hope you enjoyed listening to this, and you'll hope you'll enjoy listening to that. And coming up on Broken But Glorious Wrestling Podcast, we will have the Fastlane review with myself, Oliver Newman, Chris Lappin, and Nick Davey next Tuesday. Prior to that, we're going to have a Crossroads review for Impact Wrestling with Chris Lappin, myself, and a special guest. I'm Oliver Newman, author of A Fan's Perspective 2016, What a Year to Be a Fan of WWE, and A Fan's Perspective, One Man's Exploration of British Wrestling, available on paperback and Kindle via Amazon now. And because the snow beat us last Saturday, the 3rd of March, we have rescheduled the book signing Q&A at Pro Wrestling Cartel until Saturday the 24th of March at 3 p.m. With England playing on the Friday night, that means the local teams aren't playing because of international duty. So I hope that we've kind of looked into this perfect date. And yeah, we'll be doing a book signing with my two books. We'll be doing a Q&A, a possible book reading, and an in-store competition. So if you're available on that date and you enjoy professional wrestling, and you know, I hope you'll join me in store. And as a proud Brummie, hence the reason why my social medias are called Brummie-all, it's an absolute privilege and an honour and a pleasure to bring my first ever book signing to Birmingham. As somebody who was brought up in the area in Small Heath, Sheldon and Stechford, to come back in order to sign books and be a part of a Q&A in a wrestling shop in Birmingham is an amazing thrill. So I'm grateful of the opportunity, and I hope to see you all then. Until next Tuesday, when we'll be doing the Fastlane and Crossroads review. This is Oliver Newman signing off from Broken But Glorious Wrestling Podcast. Good night, everyone. Bye for now. Bye.